Thanks for tuning in today, and welcome to today's podcast. Your host is Joe Love, a spiritual teacher, sixth sensory guide, and author. Let's get started.
You start to see how past lives, impact us. Memory can simply well up from us at any time. Memory comes from the Akashic records of the past. And oftentimes we can get information about our past from our dreams. We just don't randomly dream about past lives. Very often we have past lives and we have a dream. It's connected to experiences we've had in the past that we're having now in the present. So it correlates the two of them. And somehow the dreams come to mind from our subconscious. For example, you might have a dream that you're back in high school. All of a sudden, your teacher's giving you a test, and you didn't know anything about the test. It's a surprise, so you have all this anxiety because you're not prepared for the test. Or you could be outside in the hallway, for example, and all of a sudden, you've got to get to your next class, and you can't remember the combination to your lock to open it to get your books you need for the next class. And now, these dreams, they don't suggest that we have unresolved issues from our high school. Instead, what they do is they bring up that there's something going on in our present lives that we don't feel prepared for, and is trying to point that out to us. And that's what happens with these correlation of dreams. So very often, the subconscious, what it'll do, which because it's attached to the Akashic records, it'll look for an experience in the soul's past. We also, like I said, didn't feel prepared. And so past life dreams, they work the same way. They call to mind a similar experience from the soul's past. People often ask me, how can I recognize a past life dream? And very often, a past life dream comes in and we see ourselves totally different. We don't even recognize ourselves. We know it's us, but we don't recognize ourselves. We see ourselves in a different time, a different place. We might dream of an ancient civilization. If you dream about, say, ancient Egypt, and you have that dream over and over again, you can be sure that you had a past life experience in ancient Egypt, because that keeps coming back and back and back. It's trying to get our attention to something regarding that. And that's why it's good to record your dreams. And very often, there's a strong correlation between imagination and our intuition. The fact is that the more imaginative you are, it strengthens your intuitive skills. You might have an unusual thought or idea out of the blue, or think of something, and somebody will tell you, we've talked about how many times children come up, and they'll see something out of the blue, and parents will just push it off. Oh, that's only your imagination. Don't pay any attention to it. And that's the worst thing that they can do, because they're pulling up something from a past life as a child. Your thoughts, your ideas, because you're getting an accurate impression from the Akashic records. And since every individual, all of us, is a sum total of his or her previous experiences, fragments of past life memories, they come to surface in our everyday life. And, most often people don't realize how commonplace these, Akashic records, how they influence our lives every day. For example, you get concerned, you get worried, young children will begin discussing things out of the blue, and their parents are like, they actually get scared, like, where did that come from? No, don't think about that. And it happens. I get people like that. They'll tell me, my son was talking about this, it really frightens me. And you shouldn't, because it's picking up something from the Akashic records at that age. Now, there's a couple of books I want to recommend to everybody on past life experiences. There's an author, Ian Stevenson. He's written quite a few great, great, excellent books on the Akashic records and past life experiences. But one of his books that I recommend is 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation. It's an excellent book. Ian Stevenson. And another author that I really, really like that has written a lot of books, especially with children accessing the Akashic records, her name is Carol Bowman. And one book in particular I recommend of hers is Children's Past Lives. That's an excellent book. I really recommend you get that. Individuals often pick up relationships exactly where they left off from a past life, the last time around, and frequently it's a close relationship. And, the person, in the present, they're merely reflecting on an ongoing relationship that's developed between those two people. In addition to watching your dreams and the imaginative experiences, you can also get information from the Akashic records in several ways. You can do it through hypnosis. That's an excellent way to access the Akashic records. You can get it through an intuitive reading. As Linda and I have said, make sure the reader that you go to is well-trained, well-versed, has good recommendations. There's a lot of people that are just out there reading, and they shouldn't be. Another one is meditation. Meditation, you can access the Akashic Records through certain meditations, which we will cover at some point, and we'll actually do one to access the Akashic Records. Because there's a lot of conditions that influence our access to the Akashic Records. So it's important that when you get information, you carefully weigh the information that you're getting against your current situation. If it's information that you're getting that is going to improve your life in the present, that's good information. Take it. Just because you feel or imagine something doesn't necessarily mean, as I said, it's worthwhile. Make sure, you know, that it always is going to better your life. You know, as far as intuitive hunches, whether you know what's right or wrong, is it making you better or is it going the other way with it? That's bad intuitive information that you're getting. So even if a person doesn't believe in reincarnation and records of the past, they are still impacting his or her life. Even if they don't believe in it, it's having an impact on their life, their relationships, their activities. When dealing with the past, who you were in the past is not that important. It's what you're doing in the present. Because those records from the past are making you what you're doing now and learning those experiences. So, yeah, when you get those past experiences, if you were doing something in the past, a certain professional, that doesn't matter. It's, remember I said last time, the intention. It's always about intention. The past does provide a framework, you know, data to work with. And when we do this, let me take a brief moment, because people always ask me about addictions, alcoholism, suicide, because there's a lot of people that I deal with, and maybe you may have too, that drink a lot. They have addictions to medications because they want to escape life, and they end up shortening their life, you know, even committing suicide. Well, that doesn't escape what's going to happen. It doesn't stop the lessons that they're getting away from or trying to escape. We're going to hit them head on in the next life. So they can't escape it. It's better to help those people try to get through and learn those lessons, because, like I said, just by taking their life early, they're still going to come back and face the same thing, the same over and over again in the next life until they learn it. So there's no escaping that, because if you ever get the lesson, the universe ever gives you the choice, do I want to learn this lesson now, or do I want to put it off to a later date? Always pick now. Always pick now. Don't do it later. So our families, we've talked a lot about our families. There's a reason we have families, and that's to help every person in our family become a better person. And sometimes it's difficult with families, with everything that we go through. But that's the purpose. And I've often asked, Joe, you know, if the universe is intent, family members help each other become a better person, how often does that really happen? Does it happen 50% of the time? Does it happen less than 50% of the time? More than 50% of the time? If you look at the consciousness of the world, and again, with all the stuff the news media puts out there and all the negativity and what's happening out there, it doesn't seem like it, because that's what they're showing. But that's not the way the consciousness of this world is evolving. It is evolving positively with people like us. Actually, it happens more than 50% of the time that we're able to impact our family and learn in a positive way. So it's more than 50%. We are going in the right direction. We're all growing. We're all learning, evolving, learning the lessons by being around people in our family. Our families are so important. Remember, 2 weeks ago we said, what's the one group that you just can't get away from? It's your family. Now, oftentimes we're with someone challenging, whether it's at work, whether it's home. With that person, they're so challenging to be around. They push our buttons. But what's happening is that we're learning to be from that person, not only to better ourselves, but to learn either not to be like that person or how to be different, and so we can impact others in a positive way. So there's a lesson there that is there to be learned. So it's not like everybody, when you help them, becomes cuddly and feely and happy and, you know, all of those types of things. They bring out resources in us that we didn't know we had. Being around different types of people, that helps, especially our family members. Another thing with adoption, the Akashic Records is very, very, very much involved in adoption, because it's a dynamic that happens in the universe that it brings together souls exactly at the right time where they need to be. Because I've had many people that have been adopted to come to me for readings. I can see, and I've been with other readers, that those people were in their adopted families in past lives. So the universe somehow brings them together. Very much, Akashic Records is very, very much involved in adoption. This dynamic, it works for everybody. Whether it's adoption, friends, neighbors, birth children, everyone. It works for everyone. Well, I want to go through another reading that I pulled out of the records from my times with Sylvia Brown. There was a woman, she was in her 50s. Her and her husband had raised three children. They had a happy marriage and been married for over 25 years. Her husband came home one day and said he was in love with a younger woman. And it just devastated her. And she came to Sylvia. She wanted to know, we're a happy couple. How did this happen? And this woman is so much younger than my husband. How did this happen? What Sylvia told her was really fascinating. She said that in ancient Persia, her husband had been some type of sheik. He was really, really proud of his harem of women, all of his wives. He had sex with all the women. He was very proud of that. But the universe felt he had too many wives. It was not good, and he needed to learn moderation. So the second time around, that was the husband's lesson, to learn moderation. At that time, back in ancient Persia, she said his wife had shown up in the present. Back in ancient Persia, his wife had been the head of all the women in his harem, and she was very cruel, she was very vindictive, and was not very nice to his other wives, and especially the youngest woman and girl in his harem. She would not let the sheik have sex with the younger girl. She got her out of the way. The girl had shown up in the present life is this girl he had fallen in love with because he was in love with her, but he had never had sex with this young girl. His wife had prevented it back then. The woman asked Sylvia, what do I do about this situation? And she said, you need to forgive and unconditionally love both of them. And the woman would have no part of it. She said, I can't do that. There's no way. But in working at it and working at it, she eventually gave in, and she was able to unconditionally love both her husband and the young girl he had fallen in love with. And eventually the younger woman found a guy her own age, and she went off and got married. The woman came back 6 months after that to Sylvia for reading. Sylvia said, you learned your lesson of forgiveness and unconditional love. In this lifetime, very few people learn. The husband and the wife got back together, very happy, never closer. That's how things work. When I say records, we have to learn in the past. That's what we have to do. Once you love somebody, that love exists for all of eternity. It never dies. What it means is you just need to make it appropriate for what is today, from what's happened in the past. And very often, people are drawn together. We're drawn together with people with whom we've been together in the past, but we have to make it appropriate, in the present time. Remember, we've had experience with spouses and relationships in the past, and we often come in contact with, and it's not that the universe wants us to pick up a relationship from the past, you were husband and wife, and wants us to continue to be husband and wife in the future. It's just that once that love exists, it's going to exist forever. It's never going to die, that energy. We've often talked about, relationships keep being repeated, events keep repeating until they're healed. And perhaps the strongest examples that I can give of repeating until they're healed, until they're dealt with. How many of you remember the movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog's Day? Remember that? But I'm sure when you watch Groundhog's Day, you don't look at it from the Akashic Record standpoint. But I just want to point out some points in that because it really, really has some important lessons of how karmic memory and how the Akashic Records work and how everyone is tied together as our relationships with one another. I'm going to give you a couple examples that maybe you didn't see, which I'll urge you to go back and see it again. The weatherman, he's very egotistical, very self-centered, thinks he's God's gift to women, thinks of nobody but himself, and he goes off to cover Groundhog's Day in Pennsylvania. He does his job, but he's so egotistical and self-centered, so he goes to sleep. The next day he wakes up, it's Groundhog's Day all over again. And doesn't matter what he does, the next day is going to keep repeating itself. And so at first it becomes, even if you remember, more self-centered, and finds out where all the friendly women are in town. And he goes there and he dates them because he knows they're never going to remember him the next day because it's going to be the same day over and over again. So he's having that experience. So everyone else, their lives are moving perfectly normally, and he's having this same day, Groundhog's Day, repeating itself over and over again. He goes to buffets. He eats whatever he wants, drinks whatever he wants, because he knows he's never going to put on a pound, because the next day is going to be Groundhog's Day. And this goes on for a while, because at one point he's dating this woman and they go to see this movie. In the movie marquee, she says, well, I really heard some good things about this movie. And he said, I've seen it, it's good, I've seen it over 100 times. And so we know from that part of it, it's been going on for a long time. So eventually, he becomes depressed to the depths of his soul. And he starts having a positive relationship with someone, and I don't remember the next morning because it's Groundhog's Day for him. So he feels totally depressed, isolated, alone, so he decides to kill himself. And he drops an electric heater and kills himself, then he wakes up, it's Groundhog's Day. And this happens over and over and again. He can't, he tries to kill himself in a variety of ways, he just can't do it. It doesn't matter what he does, he wakes up and it's Groundhog's Day. So, you know, after being very bored, he decides, well, maybe I should learn some self-improvement. And so he decides to improve himself. He decides to learn how to play a musical instrument. He decides to be of service to others, and he decides he's going to go out of his way to help other people. And over again, he learns how to be a better person, and he even learns how to speak a foreign language, if you remember, and anything he can do to be a better person. And each day, he becomes more and more selfless and happier, even though it's Groundhog Day. Next day, he wakes up, and it's not Groundhog Day. I think that's such an important lesson, because how many people do we know, do you know, that it's Groundhog's Day? Maybe it's for us, because, you know, if you figure, so many people that I know, what do? They go to work Sunday evening, get the kids to bed, if you have kids or whatever you're going to be doing, then you got to get up early in the morning, be at work at 8 o'clock, you work to 8 to 5, come home, get dinner, and then you go to sleep. Next day you wake up and do it over again. And then you do it over again the next day and the next day. And then you, here comes the weekend. And then you have your weekend. And Sunday night, into bed, because you got to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. And doesn't it keep repeating itself? A never-ending cycle? And that's one of the things that Dr. Wayne Dyer used to talk about in a lot of his lectures and a lot of his books, that's not normal. That's not the way the universe wants us to live our lives. To be in that repetitive routine, you know, we have to change things up, because, you know, as long as we're doing that, we're not learning any lessons. And it's sad that so many people in this world do that. As divine beings having a human experience, we need our space. We all need varying degrees of space to live our lives. Energetic boundaries, it's rarely discussed, but it's something that, you know, we have to have, because if we don't have our space, we become tangled in other people's energies, we become codependent. We just lose ourselves if we don't have our boundaries. We push people away and become lonely and isolated if we don't have boundaries. When you talk about boundaries, the first space is we have to be comfortable in our world. That's what we have to do. So imagine this sphere of energy around you that allows you to be in your own experience. Imagine yourself to be in a cube of space, and this is your free-flowing field of energy that no one's going to infringe on your space all day. You're going to be protected. And the cube of space is very simple. It takes a matter of maybe a minute every morning before you start out your day. You go to your quiet space, you go to your altar. The first thing in the morning is you take a deep breath, and with the palms, you know, your hands, push your palms out like you're pushing somebody away. Say to yourself, or say out loud, I can hear you better over there. Literally push the energy forward. You can feel this energy space. The edge of the palm of your hands is a place where you meet. This is your boundary, okay? And no one can infringe unless you invite them in. Okay, so you're pushing it out. Now with the palms of your hands, push out to your side and say out loud, I'm not going to get caught between a rock and a hard place. And so now you have your front space and your side space. Now with the palms of your hands, push down to the floor. So you hold down all the emotions that are bubbling up. Just envision yourself pushing the energy down. Now with the palms of your hands, raise your arms up, upwards, taking the world off your shoulders. And then push your arms backward on your side. On the sides of your head, push it down this way. Get the world off your back. This pushes all that negative energy of people grabbing onto you. Okay? And so now you've got the front, you've got your sides, your back, above you, behind. So you have this beautiful space to work with. And if you practice this every day, less than a minute, practice this every day, soon you're going to establish an energetic frequency that other people are going to sense. And they're going to feel that vibration, and they're going to respect it. You're not creating a wall to say, go away to other people. You're not doing that here. What you're doing is you're saying, this is my space. This is where I will meet you. And you have a place, I have my freedom. This is what energetic boundaries are all about. It's my space. I'm free to be me. I can meet you comfortably in this space. We often end up with poor boundaries with somebody else's needs and our emotions, because if we don't have boundaries, what we do is we absorb other people's energy. And you don't want to do that. You want to observe, not absorb. When you work with this boundary energy, you could be more supportive, more available, without internalizing somebody else's energy. When you have boundaries of your own, you practice this every day. This is why energetic boundaries are so important. It allows you to observe and respect rather than to absorb and control, is what it does. And so we want to create this cube of light. Again, it's not a barrier. It's frequency that can protect you from overwhelming energies from other people that we come in contact with. Do this in the morning, it's going to last you the whole day. And it just becomes second nature once you get into the habit of doing this first thing in the morning. Especially, you go to work, you meet a lot of people, you set up these boundaries, it's going to be a lot, people are going to show you a lot more respect, you'll find, because they'll feel that energy. Practice this exercise of creating your own energy boundary. You're going to be less drained in your relationships because people are not grabbing onto you. You're not grabbing onto them. And, you don't get enmeshed in your relationships. Aggravated, angered, reactive. I had a client that, a lot of my clients practice this exercise, but I had one in particular. It was a wonderful story. It was one night he was, he was walking and he was by himself, and he had some disability, so he couldn't walk real fast, and he had just gotten off the bus, and he could feel someone behind him. He just could feel just a negative presence behind him, following him, and all of a sudden, he just out of the blue, he turned around and he said, "Stop, don't you dare." And the guy had a gun. He was going to rob him. It was his boundaries that stopped the guy. He didn't do a thing. He left. He felt his energy and he left. So that's what that's why you want to have boundaries. That's a lot. It's important.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Come back and listen to any of Joe's podcasts as often as you'd like. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information on how to reawaken the voice of your spirit, visit joeloveiw.com.